Oopsie whoopsie. It's the news, according to me. Good morning. Good morning. Not good evening. Good morning. It is 8:12 Eastern Standard Time on Tuesday, April 27th, 2021. And I have a little... issue yesterday with getting an evening show in. I was busy. That's all I'm going to say. I was busy. I have stuff to do. Lots of stuff I have to do. So needless to say, news according to me didn't have an episode yesterday evening. The afternoon episode didn't happen. There's nothing really going on in the world anyway, so it's not much to talk about. So that's our show for today, and thanks for stopping by. And we'll be, coming back tomorrow. So and hopefully there'll be some news, and we'll see you later. So have a great day, everybody. God bless. Take care. No, I'm just kidding. there is some news out there, by the way. That was a joke, for those of you who don't understand what humor is. And more importantly, for those of you who are really need to know, and I know this is a serious thing for most of you, and this is why most of you tune in. Basically, this is the only reason most people click on the news, according to me, when it comes up on their little feed, is to figure out what I'm drinking for this morning. I've got hot chocolate with vanilla creamer. French vanilla creamer. Oui, oui. It's French. Comes from French cows. From France. Oui. I don't know how you say cow in France. Probably, I know how I say cow when I'm in France. I say cow. I'm not sure what their word in French is for cow. I think it's just yummy food, I think is what they call it. I don't know if they eat cow over there, do they? I don't know. They just eat pastries and stuff. Every French shop I've been into, the little dining French shop I've been into. You don't see many French drive-thrus, do you? You see Chinese food, Mexican food. You even see Greek food that has drive-thrus. You don't see a France King or a McFrance. You don't see that kind of thing, do you? That's kind of interesting. The only thing I remember about food in French, in France, France, it's interchangeable. The only thing I remember about, or that I know about French food, I guess, basically, is that it's, usually you get a big plate with a little bitty thing on it that looks like something that fell on the floor earlier and they just decided to put it on the plate. It's kind of tastes that way. That's all I remember. And I have eaten, there is a little French, what do they call it? Not a bouquet. I think bouquet is actually a French word, but I can't think of the name of it. It's a little French breakfast place in Chicago that we went to one time. Because, you go to the big city and everything's so diverse. But you can't, if you are, you can't interchange the ethnos. There, that people will pick at you. Let's say you're a... you could probably get away with it if you're certain. Certain minority groups could probably get away with this. You don't see this very often, but there's really nothing wrong with it. You should be able to see a black man should be able to open up an African-American... or a Jamaican, should be able to open up a French breakfast shop. That should be allowed. Why not? And yet, that's cultural appropriation. No, that's can't do that. Well, I mean, they could probably get away with it because they're special privilege. They have special rights, not privileges, because we're the only ones with privileges. But I digress. The something in the news right now. I don't know how this guy manages to continue to live. He looks like Lurch. And that's kind of a low schmack. But the only reason I go there with this guy is because I know of very few people who are as arrogant, elitist, pompous, and downright motivated by evil, nefarious ideology than John Kerry. This guy thinks he is the one pulling the world's strings. And I think he's still bitter about the 2004 election, quite frankly. He had his chance to be the president. I'm John Kerry. I served in Vietnam. We're going to capture and kill the terrorists, of course. And, he had all the, I don't know how many of you remember him making speeches. And all I remember is he was so bad at putting all of the catchphrases in. There's a guy by the name of Luntz. I can't remember his first name. Is it Frank? I think it's Frank Luntz. I didn't realize this about him. I think he's a commentator for one of the big three. Is it CNN? NBC maybe? NBC. I don't know. I think he's a pollster. Now, the way he got famous, the way he worked his way, I think he actually wrote a book on, or one of his first books was about focus groups, running specific phrases and words. This guy is the go-to guy on the left when it comes to phrases that get across, the terms that they use, the words that they use. I think it's CNBC. I think it's CNBC. I'm pretty sure that's where he works for. Anyway, he has this. To me, it's just deception. It's not genuine. You know, they run these focus groups to see which word makes, which phrase or whatever. When you're talking about border security, that's probably a phrase that he probably ran in a focus group. Border security. Just like using the term illegal alien. No, we have to use undocumented citizens. That's probably something he came up with. And it's those kind of, that's what they do. They run these focus groups, and you'll hear speeches coming out from people like Nancy Pelosi and all the upper elitists, and they'll try to insert these phrases into their little speech or into their little talk as much as they possibly can. And sometimes it becomes very obvious to me that they're putting those words in there. They're words that they don't normally use or don't really even fit what the conversation is about, but they'll throw them in there. And John Kerry, one of the things he used to always say was, "Well, capture and kill the terrorists, capture and kill them, capture and kill the terrorists." Because that was a big famous thing back then because of 9/11 had happened, you know, soon after the 2000 election. 9/11 happens, and of course that's still on everybody's mind. Now we had gone into Afghanistan, and now we're, you know, entering into Iraq. And of course that was the big issue, was we're chasing down the terrorists. We're fighting them over there so we don't have to fight them over here. Well, some might say they're occupying the White House now, but I don't, you know, I'm just saying. So, so John Kerry was one of those guys. So he was one of those guys who used very poorly used the focus group words. And now he's in the news again. And I have to ask myself, why is John Kerry, of all people, why is he, first of all, why is he still doing anything? And why is he all of a sudden in the news over several different things? Several things going on with him right now. And I don't know, I'm not exactly sure what's going on with that. What do I have going on? Stand by, folks. Stand by. I'm gonna play this little. Well, what do I have here? I can play for you. I don't have anything. I'm at my home studio this morning. I have nothing I can play while I'm looking at something here. But I don't know. Oh, that's very interesting. So, oh well. Let's go to preferences here in Facebook. Let's make this page. It's not coming up with anything for that. Browsing, network settings. Well, there we go. So John Kerry, this is live, folks. This is recorded live, and no editing, obviously, because, well, I want you to get the raw TNA to me experience. Actually, I'm just lazy, and I don't want to have to go back and edit anything. It's a one and done, because I do this twice a day. I'm not going to spend 2 hours at this. I spend enough time talking, let alone editing. And, you know, since you're paying such good money for this, you get what you pay for. Let me just put it that way. The Fox is currently your default browser. Yeah, that's fine. But I kind of wanted... here we go. No, here we go. Ah, here we go. Now, there. Okay, let's save that. Yeah, that'll work. All right, let's go back to DuckDuckGo and be done with this. All right, I'm done with that. All right, let's find out. Let's see the John Kerry here. John Kerry. But by the way, speaking of Johns, is it John Kennedy? If for no other reason, John Kennedy, I don't know if you know, he's the guy who always has some kind of statement. Yeah, I would vote for him just for the zingers. He has a very descriptive way of speaking. And I'm going to have to come up with a card that just has, you know, just a whole panel of buttons I can push with just, you know, John Kennedy's zingers, because he recently, I think it was on Hannity. I just heard him. I saw the headline and I saw he was on there. I had to click on it, find out what he said. But he basically said something about, you've tested positive for stupid. It's something which I thought was pretty hilarious. That would be a good, a good one to push. Especially when I'm talking about certain individuals, I just push that button. You've tested positive for stupid. Not sure what kind of test they take for that. Is it probably a Q-tip up the nose, maybe? I don't know. Then they push a little too far. There's no gray matter here. So John Kerry was in the news about something else the other day. And there were people saying he was... he was off the wall, just making some disgusting statements about the country or whatever it was. Well, now it comes out that the Iranian guy, one of their head diplomats or whoever it is, has come out and said that John Kerry said he gave away like over 200 attacks that were perpetrated on Iran to destroy their infrastructure and their ability to develop nuclear weapons and other devices within their military capabilities, surgical exercises that Israel carried out, apparently. At least John Kerry's saying that they did. And that's, you know, that's, I question everything now, folks, which is, it's not necessarily a bad thing. I hate being that way. I hate the distrust I have for information now. Because, you know, it would be like John Kerry. It would be like one of our organizations, CIA or, you know, one of the other alphabet soup organizations, to go out there and commit things and blame it on somebody else. In fact, that's one of the primary ways that they, the CIA or the NSA, I think it was the NSA actually, that came up with this way to hack a person's computer and make it look like it was someone else who did it. They can come in and do something to your computer and make it look like the Russians did it or the Chinese did it. Now, it can be forensically figured out, but the initial forensic look at it will, you know, will point fingers at certain individuals or certain countries, which is a little bit creepy as well. After this last election, you know, who really is pulling the strings and who's doing this stuff? You know, I have no doubt that there was meddling going on from foreign entities, or that they would like to be able to. I think our election system is so confusing that most of the people from China and Russia and Iran look at it and go, I don't understand what's going on over there. I don't even know where to begin to hack that. They basically see, and that's the beauty of the of having 50 separate elections in each state, one in each state, is that you have, or on the national level, you have to hack 50 different elections. Now, the way they have compiled all of that, now you don't have to. And if we come down to a popular vote instead of the Electoral College, then all you have to do is hack a couple places. You know, 10 million people show up in Indianapolis to vote. That's all you have to have. Oh, go look there. Biden got 81 million votes. And actually, the whole election was basically only determined by about 30,000 votes with the Electoral College. And you don't have to tell me that there was widespread evidence of voter fraud. Out of 150 million votes, supposedly, 30,000 was what determined the election. How widespread does it have to be? But I digress. I'm talking about the election again, and I wasn't going to go there. You just never know where I'm going to go. I don't know where I'm going to go. I have no show notes here in front of me, folks. I'm just talking. It's my response to the inundation of information I get every day. The absorption factor that is my brain. It's like a sponge. Literally. It's like an old moldy sponge that you find back behind your sink. That's what it's like. So we have John Kerry now is in the news. And apparently, supposedly now, he has given away that Israel... Now, he's denying it. He's denying it. And, of course, when Psaki was asked a question about this, she said, we're not going to comment on leaked audio. But stand by a minute. Just because it was leaked doesn't mean it was untrue. So now we're going to equate leaked information as being fact-checked, false. Well, in that case, all that information that you guys leaked from anonymous sources for 4 years, is all that information null and void now? That's all we heard. Anonymous sources have told us when it was actually an anonymous source. And they would verify that anonymous source by having someone else in another news organization report it. So we've corroborated that story now because another news organization reported it. So now it's corroborated. We didn't have a second source. We just went by the other news organization that told the same story we did. They heard our story and they repeated our story. And now it's corroborated. That's the extent of, well, let's just say they've tested positive for stupid. Yeah, that's good hot chocolate there. So so today, some things are happening today. The recount is fully underway. Now, I'm not even sure I understand exactly what was going on with the whole thing back and forth with this judge. Stopped the recount. Now, here's I want to bring this point up. How long has it been since the election? It's been, so we had November, December, January, February, March, April. Almost 6 months. Almost 6 months since the election. Are you telling me that, I've heard two different accounts. There's 2.1 million votes and there's 2.5 million votes. I think it's 2.1 people who voted who were alive, and then there was another 0.3 people, I think, 0.3 million that were 300,000 that were not alive. The dead, that was the dead people. Now, I've heard two different counts on how many votes are counted. Let's just put it this way. There's over 2 million ballots that they're canvassing and putting, they're auditing. And they've gone to great lengths, great painstaking lengths to make this as transparent as possible. Now, in the process of all this, I just read a headline. My word. Okay, so there, right after I say this, I just read this headline. It's so stupid because they test positive for stupid again. So they have two cameras on every table. And they're going through all of these ballots. Now, back to my point. My initial sub-point, which was a sub-director of subsequent co-contaminant particle. So we have this recount going on, and these ballots have been sitting. Where have these ballots been for the last 6 months? Are you telling me, you're guaranteeing me that these ballots have not been tampered with, that they haven't been rearranged and some have been thrown out or shredded? Because there was that stuff was going on. The process of adjudication on some of these ballots is absolutely insane. The power that puts into a particular individual's hands is absolutely amazing to me. And this is where things get a little creepy. And to me, it seems like they delayed and delayed and delayed this thing to the point where out there they're like, okay, we're ready now. You can go ahead and do the audit. We got it all set up. That's almost the way it seems to me. Go ahead and count the ballots now. We've got them all figured out. We got it all straightened up for you there. So now you can count them and you're going to come up with this this number that we have. That you have to have. I mean, who's to say that that's not going on? Are you telling me that there was an armed guard standing there next to these ballots the whole, you know, for the last 6 months? I doubt it. Somebody had the key to that room where they were kept. If they're even kept in a room, they probably kept out in some field somewhere. I got mouse, you know, chewings on them. So, the whole thing is a little bit sketchy to me, but Now there's CNN. Just, this is the headline I read. This is just coming up on the search engine. I'm not even going to click on it. Arizona Republicans are conducting a baffling and completely secretive recount of the 2020 election analysis by Chris. <It's>... this other one here is this. This was 4 days ago. Arizona judge halts for now GOP recount of 2020. Yeah, they did halt that thing. And here's where it gets confusing to me. This judge steps in and halts the recount. This has happened several times. This has been going on for months, where they've had back and forth with. For some reason, the Dems are trying to stop the recount. They're trying to, you know, they've tried to stop the forensic audit. Now their excuse is, well, this company that they've hired to come in and provide the resources and the manpower for the audit and actually do the calculations and the examination, they don't have the authority to see voter records and voter information. Neither does the SEIU, the union people that they hired to come in and count ballots on election night. Where did those people get their authority? Where did the people who came in and CrowdStrike, where did they get their information? Where did they get their authorization to come in and do a forensic audit on the servers of the DNC? You know, and this is what amazes me, because this is a side story, but let's talk about it because it's relative. The DNC was hacked. Okay, they don't know. There was so much hacking going on at that time. Everybody's got to get all confused. You had the Anthony Weiner hacking of his computer. You had the who's the other guy that was Hillary's main campaign manager? That guy clicked on an email. It was a phishing scam. His computer was hacked. And then you had the DNC hack. Now, the DNC reports to the FBI that they have been hacked, that the DNC has been hacked. The hacking took place soon after the Bernie Sanders incident, where they basically... Bernie lost, was losing out to Hillary, and there was some questionable activity going on behind the scenes. The hacking took place, and then how does this work? So let's say a crime happens in my home, and I report it to the police. But I don't want the police to come in and do an investigation. I want to hire my own investigator to come in and do the investigation, and I'll report to the police what happened. That's what we have here with regard to the DNC. And here's the problem with this. A federal crime was committed. If someone hacked into the DNC servers, now you have to understand the kind of organization, the type of organization the DNC is. The FBI absolutely has authority. If they believe a crime has been committed, a federal crime has been committed, they have the absolute authority to come in with a warrant and conduct an investigation. Why did that not ever happen? Why did another organization come in and make that investigation, which they initially determined was a Russian hack? They were hacked by the Russians. About 6 months later, they retracted that statement, by the way. But that never made it into the news. Because by then, the entire, you know, Russian hoax was in full swing. It was winding up. And they were using that information, that initial... That's what they do a lot of times. They'll have somebody come out and just make a statement. And they'll use that as their soundbite for the rest of... You know, they'll say, 17 intelligence organizations determined that this was happening. No, there was only three. The others said that they were not confident that it happened. And there was only the only three that did say they were confident said they were moderately confident. So it just, in that determinations of that, it's like, that's just basically saying we believe the hearsay. That's what that means. And if you want to put it in a regular street term, there's no hard evidence. Absolute confidence, it means we have hard evidence that this happened. Moderate confidence means we're leaning towards believing that the hearsay is true. Because they were basing what they were reading. So it gets down to this point where, all right, I digress. I'm digging way deeper into this rabbit hole here. So you have the issue of the audit. So the DNC servers once the actual forensic data started coming out and people started analyzing, and the guys who know what's going on with forensic data, because of the way the information was transferred, the speed at which it was transferred, the clock speed, all this other stuff about the way it was dumped out. Basically, what somebody came in and did is they mirrored the server. They didn't hack anything. They didn't damage any information. They got all the information off the DNC server. And the way it was done suggested, from all the people who really know what they're talking about, they said this was done in-house. This had to have been done, dumped directly to a hard drive or some kind of a memory device. This was not transmitted through internet or anything else. This was done in person, hard time, real time, through hardware, not through any kind of software. So that flies in the face of everything that was said by CrowdStrike when saying it was the Russians, and of course they retracted that statement later on anyway. So they weren't even confident of that. And what's weird about that, so now you have, Debbie Wasserman Schultz is still in Congress, even though she had to resign from the DNC because of the stuff that they found out she did. And then they were saying, well, this information was hacked by the Russians, and therefore it can't be dependable. They didn't make up stuff. They didn't fabricate emails. These are emails that were on the DNC server, which we will never see because that server now has been, you have to understand how servers work. That's a multitude of hard drives, basically, is what it amounts to. But they, when they have that stuff in there, when all that information is stored and mirrored, and that stuff is all broken apart, it's all gone. And of course, that got into the whole thing with Hillary's emails and the cell phones, the multiple devices, all the stuff where'd this guy go? Who's the tall FBI guy who was fired? I can't even think of his name right now. Yeah, whatever his name was. I can't think of his name. James Comey. James Comey. No, it's Christopher Wray. James Comey hasn't been in the news lately. I don't know what that's about. But he came out and he was being interviewed by the Congress and basically said everything that Hillary did, and it's like they were all laws that were broken. And he confirmed that she had lied. And yet nothing was ever done about that. She lied to Congress. Things that people are in prison today for doing. And she, you know, she destroyed evidence. They sequestered her. They subpoenaed her emails.
Well, I had my lawyers, you know, told me I was supposed to destroy some of these emails because they were all personal emails.
No, it's not the way it works, Hillary.
Well, my lawyers told me to flush the drugs down the toilet because they were all personal drugs.
Oh, okay.
My lawyers told me to smash up the hard drives and the phones with hammers because they needed to be destroyed because they, you know, because racism.
Okay. Yeah. So, and they got nothing done, nothing said, nothing. You know, if I destroyed evidence, I think that in and of itself adds to the crimes you committed. I'm not positive about that, but I'm pretty sure that that's an additional crime on top of the crimes you've already committed. And this is where this elitism kind of just starts to get a little bit old for most of us out here living in normal land, where if we, you know, squeeze through a red light because they've adjusted the time from on the yellow light down to about 3 seconds, and they pull you over for that, and somebody else gets away with things that have ended up in people's, arguably you could say that they ended up in people's losing their lives. I digress. So this is the basis of this kind of stuff going on. And it's I think this is why the American people are so fed up with the establishment, elitism, the machine, the mechanism that is in Washington right now. Why we don't trust it. I saw an interesting interview the other day about a guy that was talking about how all the things he went through a whole long list of all the things they accused Donald Trump of doing when he was in the White House, and all the things he was going to do, and all the things before he even got sworn in. And he was, you know, all the things he did while he was in office, all the fear mongering that was going on every day was, oh, he's, you know, it's just, you know, the walls are closing in. Oh, this administration is, you know, destroying America. It's destroying the country. The Russians are taking over. They're going to, you know, it's just on and on and on. And it seemed like, you know, all this stuff was just constantly inundated every day. Our democracy was under attack. It was every day was a constitutional crisis. And it seems as if now, you know, we have this administration coming in. I think Tucker he made a good point last night. I think it was last night, I believe. Saw a little clip about him saying something about how, you know, Joe Biden is not in charge of this administration. Duh. I mean, it's kind of a no-brainer. Literally. But it's absolutely true. I mean, Joe Biden is not in charge here. And, you know, the questions are, who is? Now, there are some people behind the scenes who are definitely in charge. You know, one individual that you haven't heard anything from, hasn't been interviewed lately. Nothing's being said, hardly at all. I mean, there's been a few, but not much. Is Barack Obama or Valerie Jarrett, who actually is the arm inside the puppet of Barack Obama. And with all the crazy things that are happening right now, you know, between, you know, China, Taiwan, Russia, Iran, the border, COVID, racial, you know, tension, defunding police, riots. And they find themselves in a very precarious situation. You know, and on top of all this, you have the spending. Now, I didn't get into this. I haven't gotten into this recently, but let's talk a little bit about the money system. And we're going to finish up with this. You know, our money system is based on a fiat currency right now, which is got into a discussion with somebody a while back about basing our dollar on the gold standard or the silver standard. And the comment from this person was that, well, there's not enough silver for everybody to be carrying around. It's going to be a pain if everybody kept to carry around silver coins all the time. I didn't even respond to that. Apparently, you don't understand how that works. See, we were on a silver standard up until Nixon. And all of a sudden, that changed. Now, the price of silver is being extremely manipulated right now. It's extremely, because there's no way. Let's check on the current price of silver. There's no way. Went a little too far there. How many times have I heard that? Silver currently $26.38. It's up 9 cents. Silver has been one of the most stable commodities you can buy. now it has had a couple of little spikes here and there, and there's some conspiracy, there's some theories about why that happened, and why those spikes happened. If you look, and they're pretty plausible. But I'm not gonna get into that too much. Now, our money system right now, the only reason we have value in our money globally is because we pin the U.S. dollar to oil. Oil is traded in U.S. dollars in almost on the international circuit. At some point, it has to be U.S. dollars. So that's why our dollar is worth something. If that is ever successfully unpinned, which there have been some attempts to do that, we may end up in a very precarious situation. No, we're not going to maybe end up in a... We will be in a very precarious situation. There is a mass exodus to companies like Bitcoin. There's some stuff going on with Dogecoin and stuff like that right now. But there's a lot of other cryptocurrencies, basically, that are really gaining in popularity. Now, I have to ask yourself, and here's the mystery to me. Let's say you go off to buy $100 worth of Bitcoin. One Bitcoin is like $50,000 or some ridiculous thing right now. What is it that gives that Bitcoin value? So when I put my, let's say I go to a, like an ATM machine where you can buy Bitcoin, which they have those around, you know. So I go to this thing and I stick my $100 bill in there and it's gone. But now I have $100 worth of Bitcoin. What do I actually have? Now you can buy and sell things with Bitcoin. So that gives it some value. But what just happened to my $100? This is what people don't really get. Where'd that $100 go? Who gets that? So somebody comes in at the end of the day and empties out the machine with all these $100 bills in there, $20 bills, or whatever they are. Takes, you know, thousands of dollars out of that machine that people are buying this with, or online or through credit card or whatever it is that they're doing. That money then goes to the bank, to somebody's account. Does it go to, where does it go? Who's getting that money? At the end of the day, where does that cash go? I want to know. Now, it probably goes into some digitized account somewhere. I mean, it's because, you know, the fiat currency, the currency that we carry around, our paper money, I think only about 3% of all the money in circulation is actually printed. So it's a keystroke on a computer somewhere. But the point is, if you had it in cash, let's say somebody was just collecting all the cash. Who's getting that? Mr. Bitcoin? Who's sitting on that stack of cash? Where does it go? So if I go to buy a soda pop down at the local, Ready Mart, and I give the guy a dollar or five or whatever a soda pop is nowadays, and I get my soda, I walk out the door. He takes that money to the bank, puts it in his account, and then when the soda pop delivery guy comes back to the store again, he reloads the machine with more soda pop. And he keeps a little bit of that so he can feed his family. How does that work? Okay, let's say, or even a vending machine. Let's say it's just a vending machine. You put your dollar in, a couple dollars, $5, whatever it is. Put that in there. Get your soda pop. And then they refill the machine and they do it all over again. How does that work with Bitcoin? I put my money in. I get my Bitcoin. What do I actually have? I mean, if you've exchanged currency. But
there's an algorithm that do mining to get the information, and they get it's got value because they got the coins made, and the coin is electronic, and it's
okay. So the question is, can an EMP destroy all that? And supposedly there's ways of carrying around a wallet and securing it or whatever so that you can have your Bitcoin. The question is, if 90% of Bitcoin is wiped out, is anybody going to be trading with it? Is anybody even going to want it at that point? Because you can't melt down a Bitcoin and make a bullet out of it. Stuff like that. I don't know. These are just the questions I asked. And I get no answers. Maybe I should ask someone who is in third grade. Maybe they could tell me. Because that's probably, those are the kids that probably have it all figured out. So, that's my, those are my questions for the day. You can ponder those for a while. Critical thinking. Or just thinking in general. Seems to be something that's kind of lacking in our nation today. But sometimes we need to take a pause, as Fosse would say. We need to pause. Pause the Johnson & Johnson. I'm going to pause. Yeah, where did he learn how to talk? Guy's a doctor. Give me a break. I don't know if he can even spell doctor. Or spells it with a K. Yeah, we've got a big day ahead of it. So it is now 9 o'clock on Tuesday, April 27th, 2021. And this is a day that the Lord has made. And he's definitely on the throne. So let's just trust in him. Great place to start. Have a great day, everybody. God bless.